Welcome, Nerd Forensics fans. We are recording in the South Pole because there was a clerical error, and instead of being surrounded by elves, we are surrounded by penguins. Hello, Saturnalia to you all, because screw the war on Christmas, let's fight the war on Saturnalia. Let's go back to, you know, getting a bunch of dudes drunk and all of us having sex with each other and just giving each other presents and throwing up and the Protestants just hating us for celebrating Christmas.
I mean, that's an option.
Well, the Christians in general, never mind, because there was only one church back then.
I mean, I've made it abundantly clear that I celebrate Xmas.
Yeah, I'm on board with you, Jacob.
Yeah. Xmas is a non-denominational holiday that is a celebration of the winter solstice that involves drinking and gift giving.
All right. Well, yeah. Happy Xmas, everybody. And that's what we're going to be calling the holiday season in our podcast from now on. It's Xmas like Futurama.
Yeah, it really puts you in the Christmas spirit.
Whatmas?
Christmas, you know. X-M-A-S.
Oh, you mean Xmas. You must be using an archaic pronunciation.
It's about getting drunk, gift-giving, and hiding from a robot Santa Claus. If we can't have Santa Claus being a black man, we might as well just make him a killer robot because, let's be real, Santa's like super old, and there's no way he would ever be a generous white man in Victorian England. That just didn't happen.
Wasn't that real Santa Claus from like 800 AD or like 200 AD? Because I think he was part of the Council of Nicaea.
Well, I'm talking about Santa Claus from like the old paintings of him being a white man in Victorian England and stuff.
I got you. I thought you meant St. Nicholas.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, there's him. But that dude was famous for like befriending a bunch of young girls and burning a bunch of pagans. So, we shouldn't celebrate that fella.
Oh, yeah, no, he was a real stickler about canon law.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a person worth celebrating.
Yeah, exactly. So you know what? We're going to celebrate a black Santa. Like that fella from the New York Santa that everybody was making hay about a few years ago that actually looks like Santa Claus.
Wait, I mean, here's the thing. Black Santa Clauses aren't anything new. I've seen thousands throughout my lifetime. Why is this a big issue now?
Well,
or is it always just a big issue for crazy people?
It's always a big issue for crazy people. But again, one of my favorite Christmas songs is Santa Claus is a Black Man. And if we're going to go to the Victorian era, oh, come on. If there was a white man breaking into everybody's house in the Victorian era, that'd be a horrifying story. He'd be doing some weird stuff. He'd be like stealing everything. He'd be the Grinch.
Yeah, well, real. I mean, you know, it's the Victorian era, so I can see them being like, for the rich people, yeah, there's no, why wouldn't a benevolent white man just start giving them gifts? But you remember that the lower class people, that's why Boxing Day is a thing, is here's the gifts we didn't want, you can have them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's also probably why oranges are also a gift.
Well, also, they used to be fruit used to be a better gift back in the days where all you could have was like pickled fruit during the Christmas.
Yeah, that is true.
I mean, some sort of boiled meat that you
pickle.
Yeah, you pick. I mean, the preservation techniques for food wasn't really good back then.
You just add copious amounts of salt, vinegar, and bacteria until you get a slime that becomes your heritage.
Yep.
That was a very long, cold opening. I want to welcome you all to our
Xmas special.
Xmas specials. And I wanted to say a Merry Xmas to everyone and everybody who's celebrating another holiday. Well, the Xmas spirit extends to you because, again, Xmas is a secular holiday about getting drunk and giving people gifts.
And, you know, happy holidays to whatever specific thing that you're celebrating is.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Hanukkah to everybody because that was earlier. Early happy Kwanzaa to everybody else who's celebrating that in January. And I know there are some people on some parts of the world that celebrate Christmas in January. And Merry Christmas to you all. But right now, this is Xmas, and Xmas is for everyone.
Millicent Oriana, culture expert. While seeking to unlock the secrets of all fandoms, she is exposed to an overload of every aspect of pop culture. Now, when asked a question about a piece of popular culture, she becomes curious. Now hosting a podcast and joined by amazing guests, she seeks to find answers and find a way to live off her talents and to make a fun podcast.
I'm not going to ask a crazy killer robot Santa questions. That thing is violent. And we are back. And it is our Xmas special. That's right. We're dedicating it to holiday specials. And that pretty much means that we're all just going to have a great time and merriment and get drunk. And we're not going to have a morbid conversation in this episode.
Well, hopefully it's not going to turn morbid.
Well, hopefully not. But I mean, you know, sometimes Jimmy Stewart has to kill himself to make the bank money get back.
Just a second here. No, I don't have your money here. It's in Bill's house and Fred's house.
Hey, what the hell are you doing with my money in your house, Fred?
And again, today we're going to talk about holiday specials, holiday movies, and whatnot. And I guess to start it off, because, you know, we always like to start off on an uphill and just work our way down on this show, we're going to start with the Star Wars Christmas special.
Oh, God, it's so painful.
It is so painful. There's this XKCD cartoon that says, like, it says, like, the enjoyability of movies. And it's a graph that's, like, really high for, like, good movies, and then really low for bad movies, and then pretty high for so bad it's good movies, and then really, really bad for the Star Wars Christmas special. It's so bad it's bad.
I would still say, though, it's better than some of the movies that me and you have watched.
It's more entertaining, yes, but it's also just like, it becomes delirium after a while, because you're like, it's 2 hours in and it's still going.
I mean, you feel like it's a fever dream at points.
Yeah, there's totally a Wookiee orgasming to watching, like, I can't remember the singer. I really wish I could remember her name, but there's a singer, and Chewbacca's dad, Itchy, I think, or no, Lumpy, that's his name, which, all the names sound so unpleasant. They sound like things you would rather have than watch the Star Wars Christmas special. But, yeah, Lumpy is his name, and...
Okay, so for a brief overview for anybody who hasn't seen it, basically Han Solo has to get Chewbacca back to Kashyyyk for Life Day.
Yeah, and Life Day is like the most important thing in the world, the Wookiees, and they keep getting interrupted by a bunch of like wash-ups. By 1970 standards, most of these people were wash-ups. I think probably the most popular of the actors that's in that special at the time is probably B. Arthur.
Well, they got Jefferson Starship.
I say the most popular, now I'm going to say the most popular celebrities they got in that episode were probably Bea Arthur.
Who is the stir one?
Oh, I can't remember. Let me look that up.
Stir whip, stir whip.
You've heard me do that so much when I'm driving. Oh my God, he has a whole Wikipedia page. Jesus.
Of course he does.
Jesus Christ. Gourmandia.
What? What's this?
The alien's name was Gourmandia.
Like, is he fat?
No, remember? She was a cooking show host with four arms.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Stir whip, stir whip, stir whip.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was just thinking gourmand for a second because I thought sometimes that's...
Yeah, Harvey Korman. That's it, Harvey Korman. Yeah, he was the dude, remember in The Simpsons when they go to Branson? I'll make my funny sounds, that guy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's also the one that like does that really disturbing thing where he's like sticking a screwdriver in his ear and stuff.
Yeah, I like how he's a wash up in that episode.
Oh, yeah, in that special.
Oh, yeah, but also in that episode of The Simpsons.
Oh, yeah, in the episode of The Simpsons. Yeah, he's like a long wash. Like, okay, he wasn't totally a wash up in the late 70s. He was on the path to becoming a wash up.
But, you know, basically anybody who's in an actual Star Wars movie, they're in it for maybe 5 minutes at most. And they're completely uninterested, and they all look high as balls.
Carrie Fisher looks interested, but that's because she looks so high.
It also has the most baffling death scene I've ever seen.
What, you mean that stormtrooper that just runs off the side?
Oh, yeah, yeah, because, okay, it's Han Solo, right? And he, like, blocks the stormtrooper. They go left, right, and it cuts down to the feet, and then just cuts back up, and he's falling off of the side railing.
No, he, like, takes, like, two steps, and then he falls over the railing. Like, that's right. It's because Han, like, fakes to the right, and he, like, goes, and he, like, jumps off the side. It made no sense.
It's like, it looks like me when I was learning pogo stick, and, like, when you first learn a skill like that, it's like, oh, God, like, I'm losing balance, and then...
He looked like Bambi in that scene where Bambi's learning to walk.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just really disturbing and pretty boring. And again, you're kind of wondering if you're having a fever dream and why people thought kids would find this entertaining.
Because Jefferson Starship's in it.
Yeah, kids didn't care about Jefferson Starship in the 70s.
Well, don't you care about weird pseudo-Christian prog rock by a former psych rock band?
No. I mean, I'll listen to some Jefferson Airplane every now and then if I'm, like, in the mood.
He means taking mushrooms, everybody.
Yeah, but, you know, never being sober have I ever said, hey, you know what, I want to listen to Jefferson and Starship.
Yeah, so now you know why George Lucas made half the decisions that he made. Well, he made the Star Wars Christmas special. That's why the Jefferson Starship is in it. That's why it's about three Wookiees. That's why there's no subtitles.
Oh, yeah, the Wookiees are just grunting and growling the entire time, and there's no subtitles.
Yeah, it literally sounds like... the whole movie.
And then, you know, there's the truly disturbing scene where basically they give Lumpy a VR headset so he can watch porn.
Yeah, it's I can't remember the singer, but gotta look that up now. Diane Carroll. That's it. Diane Carroll.
Now, I mean, don't get me wrong. Porn in VR is probably pretty intense. But, again, you're watching a Wookiee watching porn. And it's like she's just kind of singing and dancing.
Yeah, the real problem, too, is, you know, watching this elderly Wookiee named Itchy, which his name is Itchy now. I remember.
Oh, it is Itchy.
Lumpy's his child.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, but yeah, Itchy.
What's his dad called? Itchy?
No, Chewbacca's dad is called Itchy.
No, but Chewbacca's
child
called Chewbacca.
Is called Lumpy. Yeah, that's what Chewbacca means in Wookiee, I assume, is Itchy.
I forgot that Chewbacca's related to these people.
I mean, again, you can really tell they just weren't trying with the names here. Like, you go from Han Solo, Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, these pretty great fantasy names, to Lumpy and Itchy.
Oh, and that's the reason I talk so much about Boba Fett, is because, again, I never really had too much, you know, stake in the EU. And so everybody would tell me how great Boba Fett is. And it's like, okay, I watched him chase Luke around on a speeder looking menacing. I watched him get eaten by a Sarlacc after a blind guy knocked him in there. And I watched him stumble his way through a badly animated cartoon where he called Luke friend like 100 times. And it's like, ooh, he's so devious. He kept calling you friend. How are you not supposed to see him betray you?
I mean, so, yeah, in the original trilogy, Boba Fett doesn't really do anything. In the Clone Wars show, he does have pretty decent character arc. I actually really find it funny that some of the best stuff in Star Wars is not from the movies.
That is very true. Like, I need to finish Clone Wars series. I need to finish all the shows. I have not finished a single Star Wars show, but they're all pretty good, the newer ones. I mean, granted, though, if anybody wants to say, oh, I don't know what I'm talking about with Star Wars, I have seen Battle for Endor, and I've seen Caravan of Courage. I've paid my due.
The main thing about Star Wars, and it's like why people always talk shit on stormtroopers and not being able to aim, is, okay, but you have these characters that literally have space magic plot armor. Of course they're not going to fucking be killed.
But what about the ones that aren't force sensitive and stuff?
Again, plot armor.
Yeah.
Plot armor is a very, very strong thing. Also, there is a... thing in the EU where the Rebel Alliance has actually infiltrated the manufacturing, the arms manufacturing where the stormtroopers are getting their blasters, and they're purposely messing them up so that their sights are wrong or they have depleted power packs. And
I like the dumb inbred stormtroopers from Force Unleashed. I liked those guys. The hey, where do I get my hand grenades? Like,
oh yeah, well, and again, that is one of the things about
Star Wars do is that, you know, the clone troopers were absolute badasses genetically made to be killers, where by the time stormtroopers came around, the Empire was like, yeah, let's just get a bunch of guys off this backwater planet that have never even seen a speeder before.
I can't wait to get off Tatooine.
Exactly. Luke wanted to be a stormtrooper because he wanted to get off Tatooine.
Also, just to, about him getting off Tatooine, you know that he's like, I could sure hit that target. I used to hit Womp Rats. Like, if somebody, like, went to, like you know, like an active war zone, it's like, well, sure, I could do that. I used to kill rats all the time with my gun.
Yeah. Yeah. I like shooting dogs with my compound bow.
I mean, yeah, no.
I shoot him from my car.
It basically was some guy. Yeah, I pop squirrels with a .22 all the time.
From my car.
Yeah, let me deal this gigantic mission.
Yeah.
Come on.
God, yeah.
You don't know my aunt and uncle. They make blue milk.
They're moisture farmers.
Yeah, they didn't make blue milk. They were moisture farmers.
I thought that was the moisture that they were farming.
No, they were like farming like dew.
Yeah, no, yeah, they were basically collecting what little humidity was in the air and turning that into water.
That's stupid.
Yes, it was.
It is.
That's Star Wars, baby. So, did either of you ever see Miracle on 34th Street?
Oh, it's been a long time, but I have seen it.
Is that the one about Santa Claus getting all the letters?
No, that's the one about, like, they lock somebody up in a nut house because, like, Santa's not real. And, like, at the end, everybody realizes that they totally are Santa, the old man.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's Miracle on 34th Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen that
yeah,
one.
Yeah, it's the one where they put Santa on trial.
Yeah, they put Santa on trial.
And part of the thing is like a big courtroom thing where they have a bunch of mailmen coming in with the letters that kids have written to him.
Your Honor, I would like to show the court just how much shrimp Mr. Simpson ate. Bring it in, boys!
Letters, all addressed to Santa Claus.
You want the people of Springfield versus Kris Kringle. That's next door.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and there's like, if the Postal Service recognizes him, the United States of America recognizes him, and therefore he's a real person.
Yeah, so yeah, that was Miracle on 34th Street.
I mean, you know, I know a lot of people in like older generations like it, but it's not at the top of my Xmas viewing list.
Yeah, so also, I mean, not top of my Xmas viewing list either, but if you're going to have that old of an Xmas movie, I recommend you have Mr. Groller punch some kid until he actually ruptures his eardrum. Yeah, he actually ruptured that poor kid's eardrum in It's a Wonderful Life, that old man.
Oh, God.
Yeah, straight up, that old dude was actually punching that kid.
I mean, it had to look real.
Yeah, it had to look real. So yeah, he like disfigured that kid. I mean, that movie's great. Other than the fact that it teaches you the wrong lesson. I mean, yeah, I agree that, like, you know, nobody should kill themselves even if they make, like, a stupid mistake like that. But the lesson of that movie was they should have just freaking murked Mr. Potter. They should have, like, hit him in a car or something like that. And
what's the plot, I forget, of the whole
okay,
thing?
So the movie's, like, basically this guy Jimmy Stewart plays. He's a banker. He's a very charitable man. He's, like, you know, he's that kind of thing. He's like, you know, every single, like, one of those people's best, you know, friend. He helps out, does all that dish. I mean, granted, I don't think that we should have to rely on charity. I think we should have a nice safety net cooked up by our government. But, yeah, we'll get into that more later.
Yeah, that's a bit of a discussion for a different podcast or different episode.
Yeah, at least a different episode. But, yeah, basically, like, so this guy, Mr. Potter, winds up stealing some money that Jimmy Stewart stupidly, like, puts in a newspaper, like a dumbass. You know, just doing one of those things, like, you know, when I accidentally put my medication in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this old guy, Mr. Potter, steals all the money, and Mr. Potter, like, practically owns the town. And the movie ends with George Bailey, Jimmy Stewart's character, finding out how his life would have gone had he never been born, because he's trying to kill himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds out like how many people's lives he influenced, and he comes home and all of his neighbors have raised the money to get him out of like going to jail for the money that went missing. And it's like, I'm pretty sure somebody would have figured out it was Mr. Potter, and somebody should have just rolled up on that old man with like a cane or something and just cracked him once on the back of the head, made that town a better place.
Also, was insurance not a thing at that point? Because I'm pretty sure that money would have been insured.
Oh, yeah. Insurance has been a thing since, like, ancient Assyria.
Yeah. So there's really, like...
I can explain that. So there used to be this thing called a savings and loan that what separated it from banks is that it wasn't a bank.
Oh, and I just also realized, I think this is also before the FDIC was instated.
I think it was like shortly after, and that's why he was going to go to jail. And again, it was a savings and loan that he was running. And there's a reason those don't exist anymore.
I didn't know they went back that far. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So savings and loans were just scams.
Yeah, it's like basically don't call yourself a bank because then you have to act like a bank.
Yeah.
It's like what do you call those people now? Investment bankers is now what the people who did that do now.
Yeah, it's like literally their motto was the thing that separates us from banks is that we're not a bank.
So it's kind of like how on you know, the big news shows, they're not allowed to call themselves journalists or anchors.
Or also kind of like bath salts. Kind of like, you know, how you couldn't just be like, hey, guess what? Legal drugs. You had to be like, no, it's totally bath salts.
Okay. But it was totally legal drugs.
Yeah. Or like how supplements don't have to say what they are as long as they're not like, you know, like
not claiming to be medicine.
Yeah,
And Patriot Porridge, just so all my viewers know, is not medicine. And Patriot Porridge is coming to a retailer soon near you. I'm trying to make a deal right now with your vitamin stores. I don't think I can throw out any names, really, because of legal issues. But anywhere that people get their steroids and all that other stuff working out, you know, the Joe Rogan fans out there that want to do their UFC steroid fighting, yeah, we will have Patriot Porridge for you. You don't want to feel pain? Eat Patriot Porridge. Not a medicine.
I mean, shortly after eating Patriot Porridge, you don't feel anything.
Hey, Ivan the Terrible ate mercury every day because he was the angel Michael.
Yes, I believe he thought that, but it had something to do with the mercury he was eating every day.
And that's because he wasn't mixing it with lead. He wasn't eating Patriot Porridge.
Oh God! I just keep imagining like you know when a power outage goes off in like a movie and you just see like the city like going like dark. I just imagine that, but like on an MRI of the brain. It's just like Patriot Porridge.
Yeah. For those of you that don't know, Patriot Porridge is when you mix the right amount of lead and mercury and make a slurry that can be eaten and will protect you from all the complications of the world. It will make you vaccine proof. If you're worried about, you know, vaccines turning you like sterile or whatever, eat Patriot Porridge first, then you can go get your vaccines.
I mean, I feel like I have to say this, but do not ever eat Patriot Porridge.
Not unless you get the recipe from me. Any other recipe for Patriot Porridge is dangerous. I am the only one that knows how to make it correctly.
Again, for legal reasons, I feel like I need to specify that all versions of Patriot Porridge are exceedingly dangerous.
All imitators are dangerous.
Even the one that Millie is hacking here.
Name brand Patriot Porridge has not been found to be dangerous because it is not a medicine. It doesn't need to be tested by the FDA. It's a supplement.
Again, for legal reasons, I feel like we need to really clarify, do not eat a mixture of lead and mercury.
Joe Rogan and Alex Jones.
This has nothing to do with Joe Rogan or Alex Jones. This is covering our ass.
They sell lead, though.
Again.
This is a supplement.
This is more to cover our asses.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Jacob has convinced me that I shouldn't want to kill my listeners with bunk supplements. But I do feel like I should sell things, and maybe I shouldn't just make them out of things. I guess it is a Christmas miracle, everybody. I'm going to find actual products to endorse instead of crap I come up with. Speaking of, anybody who wants to sell me or buy some ad spaces from me, I would absolutely love to sell you some.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, capitalism. So yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, capitalism is our greatest enemy, but we must work with it like an abused housewife who slowly poisons her husband.
Yeah, we have to take the spoon of action to our Patriot Porridge of life.
Yeah. Okay, Patriot Porridge will get rid of an abusive husband, though. I can absolutely guarantee that.
I feel I mean, you can't. I feel like it would. I feel like it would cause like murder suicides.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure you get very
you get violent on heavy metals.
Also, I feel like you would contract heavy mercury poisoning just by touching it.
I guess now we can talk about that awful Grinch movie with Ron Howard directing it.
The really disturbing one that, like, are you talking about the live action?
Yeah, I'm talking about that live action one that was made before the newest one that was also a disappointment from what I heard. I didn't see the newest one.
I mean, so from what I've heard about that, the suit was so restrictive on Jim Carrey. Yeah, and so it was like just a huge strain for him to like do. He had to super emote to get any sort of moving facial features out of that suit because it was just so restrictive. He couldn't do anything really. And he was like super uncomfortable the entire time that he filmed.
I will say that movie is a really cool technical achievement. Like, the visual effects are really cool.
Oh, the visual effects are great in that movie. I have to admit that.
Yeah. I mean, the Whos are, like, really disturbing to me to look at, but I can definitely admit it's great makeup.
Oh, there's a horrifying scene in the DVD extras where Jim Carrey bites the nose off of one of the Whos, and I think about it sometimes. It's just horrifying.
So he penguined him, essentially. Yeah.
Speaking of Christmas movies...
Could be worse. My nose could be gushing blood.
Your nose could be...
Now, yeah, this is one of my more favorite movies to watch around this time of year is Batman Returns.
Yeah, excellent Christmas movie, in my opinion.
I mean, you know, it when we were growing up, it was definitely considered a family film for some crazy reason. I would not watch this movie with your children.
I mean, granted, we lived in that disturbing generation where, like, they turned action heroes with, like, PTSD into cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had a Rambo cartoon.
Rambo!
You had a failed pilot for a Terminator cartoon. You had a failed pilot for an Aliens cartoon. You had,
There was the Starship Troopers cartoon.
Oh, there was the Starship Troopers cartoon. That's right.
I mean, again, all of these movies are exceedingly violent.
I saw my first pair of boobs at Starship Troopers.
You know, I think I did too, actually. It's a good memory for both of us, I guess.
Yeah, good memory for both of us. Let's talk about Batman Returns for a little bit.
Okay.
I mean, it's great. It's about this, you know, baby Moses character, basically, who gets taken in the sewers and, like, gets brought up by carnies and, like, takes over the city and everything. And Danny DeVito is unreal how good he is in that movie.
Yeah, I mean, out of all the things I've seen Danny DeVito in, if you were to ask me, like, the first two things that come to my mind are either It's Always Sunny or Batman Returns.
Yeah, I also think about Matilda.
That's right, he is in Matilda.
Yeah, and he was really good in Matilda.
I mean, he's really good.
He also directed Matilda. He also directed Death of Smoochie, which is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah. I mean, Danny DeVito definitely, he usually puts in a pretty consistent performance in all of his work. I can't really think of too much where he might have actually been, like, phoning it in.
Oh, yeah. Like, I saw this really terrible movie with Dave Chappelle and Norm MacDonald one time, and he plays this mortician that's obsessed with Hawaii Five-O, and he is by far the funniest character in the movie. He has, like, a whole collection of things that he's found up people's asses that he likes to show off to people when they're in his house. Yeah, this movie's bizarre. It has Sarah Silverman and Dave Chappelle and Norm MacDonald in it, and, like, it's about as bad as you'd expect a movie with those three in it to be. Because, I mean, it's, you know, in the 90s, and I don't think Sarah Silverman's ever found a good film role, except for There's Something About Mary, which she's in for, like, 5 seconds.
So, by the way, just speaking of kind of, like, crappy Christmas movies, you know what one that combines a body horror and, like, a bunch of aspects is that Tim Allen one? Santa Claus.
Oh, I love the Santa Claus, because, like, my favorite thing about that is the whole reason the elves are so desperate to get him out of jail is, okay, a mob snitch usually won't get killed in holding. The minute they get to county, though, they're dead. So the minute that Tim Allen got to county, he would have been dead.
I see.
Yeah. And for all of you that don't know, there is still an open bounty on Tim Allen's head from, I can't remember what crime family it is, but somebody wants him dead for snitching.
Yeah, I mean, his drug problem is pretty well known at this point, so.
And the fact that he's a snitch.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I can definitely see that.
Oh, and by the way, just super quick, the plot of that movie is that he runs over Santa Claus and
he doesn't run him over. He startles him and he falls off the
roof.
That's
right. It's even stupider. Yeah, he startles him and this guy who I guess exists in real time. But anyway, so he becomes Santa Claus and then he starts eating like
he starts gaining weight and his hair starts turning gray. And like for any of you that have ever seen Clown, it's not as cool as Clown, but like. It's kind of cool.
It makes your stomach turn.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Xmas version of Clown. He doesn't know what's happening to him, and like he has all these strange cravings now.
And yeah, and he starts like eating cookies.
I've gained 45 pounds in a week. Pete, what's happening to me?
Well, what's your diet like?
Milk and cookies.
Really?
But I don't finish all the milk.
Well, then there is your problem. Just try to cut back on the sweets, okay?
Anything else?
Yeah. How fast does hair grow? Facial hair.
What?
I shave in the morning, in the afternoon, I look like this.
Well, it could be a hormonal imbalance.
And then he winds up going to jail, which that is the worst place for Tim Allen to be.
So, you know, I was never a Tim Allen fan. I'd watched Home Improvement when I was growing up, but I didn't have cable, so it was more of the, well, there's nothing else on at this time.
You could watch that, or you could watch Ron Popeil do his 5-star knife infomercial with his oven.
Yeah, exactly. And as a kid growing up, I was like, okay, I'll just have this on as background noise and play with my toys.
Yeah, I never understood that show. Like, so I did get that it's like Tim Allen like hosted a show about like Home Improvement, but. Other than that, like, I couldn't tell you what the fuck that show was about, other than, like, him being mad about, like, his kids' hairstyles and stuff.
That's pretty much what it was about, was he had a show on TV about home improvement. I don't recall him ever actually improving his actual home in the show. And then it was about his family, his wife and his kids, and his neighbor that would, like, spy on them.
So you're telling me he's a fucking poser like fucking Garfield is to Heathcliff? You're saying he's like a poser version of Hank Hill?
Kind of, yeah. All like, right. Yeah, definitely King of the Hill had more episodes about actual home improvement than Home Improvement did.
Well, there you go. Tim Allen's a fucking poser just like Garfield.
And I mean, you know, not necessarily an Xmas movie, but one that I do like to watch on the first snowfall of every year is The Thing.
Yeah, The Thing's always a good one to watch around this time of year when it gets all snowy and cold. The warmest place to hide is inside of a person.
Yeah, again, it is not going to give you that, you know, Xmas spirit, but, you know, definitely one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's a movie that will actually give you that Xmas spirit, though. Shooter.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and the only reason I say that, like, I'm not, like, one of those, like, Marine fangirls or anything like that. I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, like, the armed forces and stuff. But the premise of the movie, the overall arcing story of the movie, is that the only way to fix a right-wing politician is by shooting them. And I think that's a message that we all need to know for Christmas, because nothing is going to destroy a money miser better than like a disgruntled sniper would. Not advocating anybody do that at all, because that's like, you know, insanity. Unless they set you up for murder like they didn't shoot her, then you're totally allowed to do that. But, you know, I don't think ghosts are going to terrorize Jeff Bezos any Christmas. So, you know, somebody has to do something about this.
All I'm going to say is the spreadsheet is mightier than the, I don't know, make a spreadsheet, find out who's on your side, unionize.
Yeah, that is true, unionize, because, yeah, you shouldn't be going around, like, capping people and stuff, but, you know, we can only hope for ghosts to terrorize people for very long. I mean, it is pretty cool, though, that Elon Musk is probably turning Tesla into a pump-and-dump scam. That's a Christmas miracle to me.
As much as I would love to billionaires to be terrorized by ghosts, you know, that's just not the world we get to live in.
Nah, so we just gotta, like, you know, we gotta unionize and we gotta, like, yell at them and, Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you all come together, you're way stronger than them. They need your labor.
That is actually really true. Just remember that. They do need your labor. So other Christmas movies we're going to be talking about. Home Alone, which this is definitely one that we've briefly discussed before. But feelings on Home Alone, everybody?
I mean, Home Alone's kind of fun. I mean, do you want to give a quick synopsis?
Okay, so like this kid, he lives in like we were saying in an earlier episode, what's probably a cult, because there's like 14 kids in this house and there's like a bunch of adults, and like, I mean, it's like Wild Wild Country, but with like white middle class people. And basically they all go somewhere for Christmas. I don't remember where. And they wind up leaving Macaulay Culkin at home because it's a cult and they like to neglect children.
I think in the first one, they either go to Florida or Hawaii.
I thought it was France.
I think you're right.
I think you are right. Because I'm thinking I'm confusing it with the second one.
And I mean, we're going to have to get to this point. Speaking of Home Alone, I mean, we came to a disturbing revelation earlier. The burglars from Home Alone were more competent than the robbers from Die Hard.
Explain.
Okay. Here you had two burglars who it took an entire movie for a kid to take them down with bricks and paint cans and stuff. And it's one kid who, let's be real, like, any child is probably worth about as much as a Bruce Willis. I mean, Bruce Willis seems... he's like a gross gorilla man. Like, he looks like sweat. Like, I can't describe... He looks like a toe that's just covered in sweat.
I feel like after he takes a shower, he smells like bologna.
Yeah, exactly. That's who I think Bruce Willis is. So I don't see him being very bright. I see, you know, any kid that's willing to make booby traps is being smarter than Bruce Willis.
Yeah, there weren't really any booby traps in Die Hard.
Yeah, there weren't any booby traps. He just like kind of shot at them. And that's the thing. Those guys had machine guns and they couldn't take him out.
They're not the good guy. The good guy knows how to aim always.
Yeah, and I mean, here you have Macaulay Culkin actually in real life has a scar from Joe Pesci biting his finger. So I mean,
ow.
Ow. But yeah, so the burglars in Home Alone were actually more competent than the terrorists in Die Hard.
Also, their plan required enough infiltration to get more money than they're executing the plan.
Oh, yeah. Well, also, that's what's so funny about Die Hard is, like, me and Jacob noticed one year when we were watching at Christmas that, like, you can see on Alan Rickman's face when it's some, like, Japanese business name that they use in the, like, you know, the cliche 90s, 80s, everything's going to be taken over by the Japanese because we can't get over our Asian fear because that just has to be a trope in all movies from the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, when the guy says, are you going to blackmail us? You see the look on Alan Rickman's face like, wait, that would have been a way better idea than what we're doing. Because it's like they're stealing like a weekend's worth of profits, even though they like had access to like the entire computer system.
Yeah, which means they're going to be really easy to catch after all that infiltration.
Yeah.
They should have pulled that guy from that episode of Fargo.
Whole season of Fargo, Narwhal. That's exactly what they should have done, is Narwhaled their asses. Like, that was scary, the way that guy just took over his company.
It's okay, Madeline. I got it. What can we do for you, friend?
Mr. Stassi, what a day. What a day. I was hoping to show the boys their new office. It's this way, if I'm not mistaken.
Kosai. We're pretty full right now.
Well, so, I mean, their plan was to fake their deaths afterwards so nobody would be looking for them.
But it's also going to look really suspicious when, like, exactly everyone involved
dies. When, like,
dies.
Six German guys show up with $1 billion each out of nowhere. Yeah, that is going to look suspicious.
Yeah, they should have just done the Narwhal thing where it's like, oh, it's our company now.
Yeah, that would have been a much better plan. Like, again, you already had access to their computers.
Yeah, it would have been easy to have just, like, fudged everything to make it look like it was your company.
Yeah. So, again, you know, at least Harry and Marv knew what they were doing.
Yeah, at least they knew what the fuck they were. Yeah, because, like, that's the thing. Earlier, like, last time we talked about them, you were talking about how they were stealing, like, candles and stuff. But, again, that shit, if it was made out of, like, silver, it was actually worth a lot.
You know what they also could have done?
What?
They could have pulled a Office Space.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, why did
just
they do that?
Just siphoned off small amounts of money? Yeah.
Why did they just siphon off, like, a penny for every transaction?
Because, again, like, they were, again, what they were stealing was, like, what the company made in a weekend.
God damn, they were stupid. Like, okay, so, yeah, again.
They could have blackmailed the people within the company and made more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have. It could have been their company overnight.
Oh, yeah, but, I mean, they could have even just been, like, they could have just told each person individually, like, okay, we're, like, blackmailing you and you and you. I bet if you add them all together, the personal wealth, it's worth more than a weekend.
Yeah. No, genuine, like, it sounds like a lot of money they were stealing, but in reality, it was absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing compared to what they could have stolen. It's like, if you spend, like, you know, like, a ton of, like, all this cool stuff to, like, get into, like, a museum and steal, like, their thing, it's like, okay, but why don't you just steal from the jewelry store across the street?
Also, they wouldn't have had to have faked their deaths afterwards either.
Yeah.
Like, their plan becomes simpler, they get more money. You know,
it's honestly like that South Park where they robbed the Burger King, like where the guys from Die Hard robbed the Burger King.
Yeah, because that's pretty. No, that's a great episode of South Park because that's pretty much what they did.
Yeah, they basically robbed a Burger King with like how bad their plan was and they didn't pull it off. I mean, Harry and Marv, if that fucking kid didn't have such neglectful parents who just left him there, they would have robbed that family blind.
They would have robbed every house on that block blind.
Yeah.
Like, they had hit, like, three or four houses before they got to the McAllisters.
So, Harry and Marv were a hell of a lot more competent than Hans Gruber and his crew.
Yeah, they're also a lot more competent than the people at the city works. Because you'd think they'd be like, okay, like, this whole block is wasting, like 30 gallons per minute. Like, we should, like, there's been a string of robberies where this has happened. The police has asked us to let them know when there's a block that this is happening on.
Now, I will say, just flooding their houses afterwards, that is a dick move.
It's also stupid. It gets you caught.
Yeah, it gets you caught, but it's just, like, there is no need for that at all. Yeah, they're just being a dick.
They were just being dicks.
It reminds me of like elementary school when people would just clog up the toilets for no reason with paper towels.
Exactly. It is that same sort of juvenile behavior, which I understand, you know, they're trying to play it up for laughs, but still. While Harry and Marv, I'm not going to say were master criminals, they were better than Hans Gruber.
Yeah, I will say that people sometimes in prisons will do that, but they have a good reason for doing that when they clog up their plumbing, usually. It's a good way to protest, because you just flood all of the fucking floors of the prison.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get your point across somehow. And flooding your toilet is a lot easier than making a shank, I assume.
Yeah, it's a lot easier than attacking anybody because they really can't charge you with anything other than maybe destruction or property damage. Getting to probably the most irrational, insane, strange, awful Christmas movie ever made, Jingle All the Way. This movie makes no sense.
What is it about? I watched a review a billion years ago, but...
Well, then we were going to definitely get into it. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Austrian death machine, the biggest actor of the 80s and 90s. Basically, he plays like a suburban dad who works for probably like a tech company or something. And his son, who's played by Jake Lloyd, wants a doll for Christmas. And he promises it to him, even though he didn't get the fucking thing.
Now, remember that Schwarzenegger in this movie is basically the stereotypical neglectful dad who, he loves his kid. It's not that he doesn't love his kid, but he can't make time for him.
Yeah, he can't make time for him because work's too important.
So once every 10 years, he chose a Christmas gesture, right?
Yeah. Yeah, every 10 years he gets him a nice toy. And,
you know, their relationship's perfect after that.
Well, yeah, you can't expect a father to be involved in their child's life.
Yeah, I mean, that's
what is
just...
real life?
You know, Russia.
Spain?
Spain, yeah. Like, what? That's the reason, like, most countries, they don't need to work 40-hour weeks, but we do. Because we can't spend time with our children. We can't make them healthy.
Well, actually, most countries do work 40-hour weeks, but a lot of them that do have better labor practices.
And I did see recently that there was like a handful of countries starting a 4-day work week.
Yeah, I think it's like Iceland, and I know there's pilot schemes.
I know France has had that for a long time.
And I actually did see a study recently that was like, for your mental health, because working can help you mentally, but after 8 hours a week, it doesn't do anything. The benefits only go up to if you work 8 hours a week, you'll actually feel more productive and like you actually accomplish something.
Yeah, like honestly, I'd be fine with a 25-hour work week, five days a week, 5 hours a day.
Oh, I'm down for the 4-20-69 plan.
Four hours a day, 20
No, weeks. 4 days a week, 20 hours per week at $69 an hour.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I'm all about the 4-20-69 model.
Yeah, I mean, it was an internet meme, but honestly, it has some serious traction because when you crunch the numbers, you make way more than what you would doing now.
Yeah.
For most people.
And then some people are like, well, yeah, but the money has to come from somewhere, and it does. It comes from the value you produce because it turns out that if you were paid the same as how productive you were, you'd probably be making 60 an hour, you average random person.
Also, oh, being absolutely. That we have a sovereign currency, we can pretty much like control that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, although I will say that you can't just pump new money into the system because then you get Zimbabwe going on.
But yeah, I mean, it's a bit more tricky than that. But again, the fact that we have our own sovereign currency does help with certain
things. Absolutely. Plus, I mean, all we got to do is collaborate with the Fed, and like interest rates are a huge factor in inflation rates. And
you know, it'd be cool, like, before we get too far into an economics conversation during our Xmas special, I will say that a real Xmas miracle would be if every single one of us angry people in New Mexico all just went all like road warrior, and we all started putting on hockey pads and stuff, and we went down to Musk's spaceport, and we're waiting for him to be doing his next thing there, and then we like just like smashed up his rocket and like pulled him out of it.
So that kind of reminds me of that Doctor Who episode where it's the last remnants of humanity on that spaceship. They're trying to take off from the planet and go to Utopia. Yeah, it's called Utopia. And yeah, basically what it turns out is like there's the future people who are eating, trying to eat everybody else, and all the stars have gone out. So this is like the last habitable place.
Yeah, I say we'd be like the future people and we just like eat Elon Musk.
Yeah, I'm down with that, to be honest.
That apartheid profiting cup.
Well, the cool thing is you could cook pretty much any mammal meat the same way.
Yeah, okay, that is true, except we can't eat the brain and the spine or else we'll get the kuru.
Yeah.
There are some parts that you need to avoid, but overall, most of it's pretty edible.
It's like fugu fish.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, exactly. It's like fugu fish. There's just parts you have to avoid.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, if you eat a brain one time, that's not going to make you crazy, but if you keep doing it, it does.
So, getting back to Xmas, now we're going to talk about Xmas specials that we personally like a lot. I will bring up the Seinfeld, you know, Festivus episode because that is pretty great. Seinfeld, though, unfortunately, has disturbed me in more recent years because of the fact that I noticed that a 10-year-long show should have more than two actors of color in it.
Yeah, I mean, the only real defense you could probably give of it is that it was during the 90s and
actors, it was on NBC.
It was on NBC, and, you know, unfortunately, actors of color just weren't given roles that they should have gotten.
I do find it fascinating that, like, all those NBC shows in the 90s took place in New York, and it was, like, this super white place in all those shows.
With super white people who were, like, young and successful, even though they, like, didn't actually work.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, wasn't Jerry supposed to be, like, a struggling comedian? How was his apartment that nice in New York City?
They were all supposed to be sure. Like, they never...
Kramer didn't even have a job.
Yeah, Kramer didn't even have a job, but they all had these really nice apartments. It's the same thing with Friends, where they're supposed to be low-income, struggling people, but that fucking apartment they live in is not damn luxurious.
All of their apartments, because they don't all live together.
No, but the main one that Monica and Rachel lived in, that is like a luxury apartment.
That is true.
Well, I will say Seinfeld and Friends are both part of the same universe that the Honeymooners is part of. There's somebody did a chart, and like because of all the cameos between shows, like those two are MASH is part of also the same universe.
Okay, this is really disturbing.
Baby.
This is really disturbing and new information to me.
Oh, I'll get a diagram after the show.
Yeah, I want to take a look at that because you know what? I do love MASH. MASH is a pretty great show, especially for the time it came out in. It is ardently left wing.
I just think about IHawk.
Next patient.
Gee, Zoidberg, leave some for the enemy to kill.
Leave Dr. Zoidberg alone. He has twice the training you do.
Yeah, he's a doctor and a butcher.
Oh, see, this is how it starts. First with the jokes, then comes the heavy stuff.
When will the killing end?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, you know, MASH is actually a pretty good show. If you've never given it a watch, like, the first season is problematic, because of some characters that are not referred to in good ways.
I mean, I know one of the characters' names literally has a slur within it.
Yes, yeah. And he is in the first season.
Yeah, well, the real fucked up part is there wasn't a single black member of the MASH unit. So for them to have a black character with that name...
They just added him.
Yeah, they just added him to call him that slur.
So, like I said, the first season is pretty problematic. I do want to say one of the reoccurring nurses is a black woman, though. And she's, you know, always portrayed as being, like, competent and good at her job. Like, she is never portrayed in a negative light.
See, I want to, like, find somebody and show them Trapper John MD and After MASH and just tell them that that's MASH.
What are those?
Those are spinoffs of MASH that were both awful, that like nobody liked.
Yeah. After MASH is super depressing because the priest, he eventually goes deaf from being in a war zone for like 10 years. And like in MASH, he's like super cheerful and like happy, and he always finds the words to like bring people out of their slumps. And then in After MASH, he's this alcoholic who's like trying to kill himself because he's deaf.
Or is that Chopper? Is that Trapper John? Or is that After MASH?
No, he was in After MASH.
Okay.
And then there was also going to be Radar, which Radar was a cop in his hometown, and I don't even think they filmed the pilot for that one.
I don't think they would. I know there was a pilot for a weird Star Trek spinoff that like you could have also just called Gene Roddenberry Wants to Help His Cat.
I'm not aware of this, and I'm actually a pretty big Trekkie, so...
You don't know about the Time Traveler? There was a Star Trek spinoff that got... It made a pilot, but they didn't make it into a show because Star Trek got canceled after the pilot got developed. But the show was basically this detective from the 23rd century travels back to 1967 and basically, like... tries to like solve mysteries, and his assistant is his cat that turns into like this like sexy like femme fatale. And
okay, Trancers sounds like a better idea.
Yeah, it probably was. I mean, I remember watching Trancers with you, and that's like this dude body jacks his grandfather. Like he literally commits like I don't even know what that would be. Like somebody's side.
He kills his great grandfather's soul essentially.
Yeah, essentially, and hijacks his body so he can marry his great great grandmother, played by Helen Hunt.
So it's incest, improper treatment of a corpse, and murder.
Yeah, it's literally, Fry, you became your own grandfather, you pervert.
What the hell have you done, Fry?
Relax. She can't be my grandmother. I figured it all out.
Of course she's your grandmother, you perverted dope.
Yeah, no, basically, and I'm pretty sure that the writers of that episode of Futurama had watched Trancers at some point. Which, speaking of... You know, all of the Futurama Xmas specials were great.
They were all really great.
Like, especially the John Goodman as the killer robot Santa.
Yeah, the killer robot Santa's great. I also really like the one with the Christmas trees, the Robotica song, and the Kwanzaa special with Coolio as Kwanzaabot.
I also like the one with all the elves singing the hyper-capitalist song.
Oh, yeah, we are free and fairly sober. Buddy. Yeah, I love that episode. That's, like, both the ones with the killer robot Santa are amazing.
Oh, God, just the treatment of the elves in those episodes are so
There's
horrible.
A toy lodged in elves. My brain.
Yeah, they're Neptunians.
They're just shrimpy because Santa doesn't feed them.
Yeah, and Elzar is, like, how big they're supposed to be, and he's, like, what, like, 6 foot?
Yeah, he's, like, six something. He's, like, a tall dude. The Find the Shiny, that's Third World. That's what that planet was called, is the Third World.
You know what show has good Christmas specials, too?
Right.
I was just going to say a Peep Show has good Christmas specials.
Yeah, Merry Christmas, Mark. Yeah.
Merry Christmas, Mad.
Oh, God, that was awful.
Oh, yeah. There's this episode of a Peep Show where basically Mark has his family over for Christmas instead of going over to his family's house. And it just becomes a disaster. Like, his dad gives him, like, a used shredder for Christmas that he has to pretend to like. And his girlfriend, who doesn't tell his family, that is his girlfriend, but they're British, so nobody asks questions. Everybody just acts awkward. Like, keeps asking questions about all the gifts. And there's this point where she's like, why are you looking at me like that? And he's like, what? And then she's like, you're trying to burn a hole in my brain with your laser vision. But yeah, it's a good episode.
It's so awkward, but it's so good.
Oh, and a druggie comes to dinner.
Now, I know it seemed like we were talking ish on the British in the previous episode about the horrible, horrible Hitler show. But I will say, I do appreciate good British comedy.
Oh yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. I even went so far. I talked about how, like, you know, I still need to do my episode about Amos and Andy, because we have definitely made way worse shows than the British at points.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good British comedy, though. I mean, everybody loves the Young Ones. And, I mean, I also like Do Shut Up.
Do Shut Up?
It's about a hard-drinking yet loving family of soccer hooligans. If they're not having a go with a bird, they're having a row with a wanker.
Cheeky.
Oh, jolly sodding, Xmas Major.
Choke on it! Oh, crikey! You gave me a smash on the noggin last year!
Yeah, Doctor Who has some really amazing Christmas specials.
Oh, yeah, I mean, so, ironically, I'm wearing my Doctor Who t-shirt, which is the Vesuvian Man, but it's a Dalek, and I have a circular Gallifreyan tattoo. So, I'm pretty into Doctor Who. But yeah, no, Doctor Who is amazing. I love that show. I've watched old Classic Who. I don't know how many Xmas specials they did in Classic Who, but in the new Doctor Who, they've definitely done a few great ones.
Yeah, and I really am a huge fan of the one with Nick Frost as Santa.
That's a lot of fun. Oh, that one is so good.
But yeah, otherwise, for other great Xmas, I would have to say I'm a real big fan of Bob's Burgers.
Honestly, I think Bob's Burgers does the best Xmas specials out of any.
Yeah.
Oh, they're so good. Like honestly, Bob's Burgers, like, it's like if you had a hard day, like, you could just watch that. Because, like, everybody treats each other with kindness, even the people who don't are actually exceptional.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say that Bob's Burgers is probably one of the best animated American television shows on right now. Like, it is up there.
Oh, absolutely. I'd say that, Disenchantment, and yeah, those are probably my two favorite currently running American animated shows.
Yeah, Bob's Burgers, like, the Bleakin episodes, like, it's the two-parter, and one, it's the musical episodes, and each song is great in them.
Oh, before, like, you know, I forget, we also need to bring up the American Dad Christmas episodes are unbelievably
good.
Like, especially the one where Steve shoots Santa. That's that one of my favorite Christmas episodes of anything.
Oh, I like the one where they where the world ends and they're all traveling through
bless them or condemn them, Mother,
for they know exactly what they do.
I'm the Antichrist.
Everything I do is anti you.
Or like whatever. The fact that he's basically the Riddler.
Yeah, he's like, he's Frank Gorshin as the Riddler, yeah. Specifically.
And it's wonderful because everything else in that episode is like so like seriously done. And it's just probably for that one joke at the end.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, do-gooders.
The Antichrist.
Condemn them, Mother, for they know exactly what they do!
I'm sorry, what does that mean?
You know, it's the opposite of forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do! Hello? I'm the Antichrist! I'm the opposite of Jesus in every way!
I also love the video with the raptor, the puppet.
I'm Reggie Raptor!
Oh, yeah.
No, that's whatever, silly. Yeah, that's anti-freeze, silly. The Antichrist, the son of Satan.
Yeah.
That one's really great.
No, the way they did the Antichrist is absolutely amazing.
Oh, what about the
episode.
One where Stan has to shoot Reagan because he convinces Hinckley not to?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, the way he does... Taxi Driver is so amazing with John Wayne in it.
Oh yeah, John Wayne is Travis Bickle, and it's just it's so good.
It's just like this, like it's an old school John Wayne Western essentially. So it definitely would not have inspired anybody to try to shoot Reagan.
Yeah, it also, you know, wouldn't have inspired much other than racism, like all John Wayne movies.
Yeah.
Except for, I mean, True Grit, but that's because True Grit's based on a really damn good book, and so is the movie. And, I mean, there's probably some problematic stuff in the book. I haven't read it since I was in, like, middle school. But, yeah, I will say that there's actually some artistic merit to that movie.
And, I mean, I didn't see the remake. I've seen parts of it, and the remake does seem pretty good.
Oh, the remake's great. It's a way better movie than the original.
And, you know, I love Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff
like,
Bridges.
Like, I will
dude.
Watch something just because Jeff Bridges is in it. Usually.
I also need to bring up, I think, the It's Always Sunny Christmas is really, really great.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, anybody who hasn't seen it, it even has a stop motion scene, like one of those old Rankin and Bass cartoons.
Now, I know that you're not as big of a fan as Dan Harmon as me, but I will also say the Community Xmas episodes are really good, too.
Oh, yeah.
Abed's...
I still like Community quite a bit.
I like Community, and I like the first couple seasons of...
Rick and Morty,
yeah. But I mean, you really only have to listen to Harmontown for, like, an episode to see what, like, the festering, like, self-incestuous mental state of his mind.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, but here's the thing. I would definitely argue that Community is a superior show to Rick and Morty.
Oh, it absolutely
oh, yeah,
is. Well, Community's great.
Oh, yeah. And I was just saying that, like he goes completely up his own butt after season two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Dan Harmon has some issues.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I saw those Rick and Morty e-cigs, and I was like, okay, at some point, you have to ethically put your damn foot down if your creation's being used for that. Otherwise, all I can imagine is Fred and Barney telling everybody that a Winston smokes like a cigarette should.
So here's the weird thing, is that I sell those at my work, but they don't have Rick and Morty characters on them. They have Family Guy and Simpson characters on them.
Oh, well, yeah, those ones. Yeah, maybe so they are just, like, bootlegs that everybody's doing.
Maybe, because, like, there's one with Hippie Lisa on it.
Yeah.
I mean, well, if you're selling something like nicotine, you probably have the money to do kind of shady stuff.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, I remember there were places just advertising them, Rick and Morty e-cigs here and everything, and it was like...
Yeah, when I looked it up online, it was kind of hard to find anything.
Yeah, so, yeah, it probably was just, like, one of those, okay, never mind then.
I mean,
still though, he's still gone up his own ass.
Yeah, he's still an asshole. But.
So for anybody who doesn't know, I work at a smoke shop, and I will say the amount of
bootlegged,
unlicensed, and even licensed characters that you see on things is surprising. Because we are talking about really large companies like Backwoods making rolling trays with, like, Simpson characters.
I mean, and Aku.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I like my Aku rolling tray, and I have no problem with people selling stuff or smoking. Okay, look, you shouldn't be trying to market weed to kids. I agree, that's wrong. But I find marketing nicotine just so morally reprehensible. I grew up in the Joe Camel days. I remember Joe Camel. And that's partly part of the reason that it's, like, so, like, just vicious to me with nicotine compared to weed. I remember Joe Camel. And I remember Scooby-Doo telling me that I shouldn't smoke weed as a kid.
I remember the commercials that said that if you buy weed, then your dealer will shoot your little sister.
Oh, yeah?
I remember the fucking commercial where the dad walks in, "Who taught you how to do this? I learned it from you!
I learned it by watching you!"
And then you know the next scene was, Well, let's just roll one up then, I guess.
Yeah, I know. Like, I've been seeing this, like, meme everywhere. It's not even a meme. It's just a picture somebody took from a bus where it's like, you caught your kid smoking marijuana, now what? And the, like, picture next to it is some guy, and it says, this calls for air guitar.
And it's part of a different ad, but it looks like it's part of the same one.
Yeah, it's a different ad, but it's, like, so much better because it's like, you caught your kid smoking marijuana, this calls for air guitar.
Now, I mean, you know, I definitely don't, like...
It will stunt your growth.
The human brain doesn't stop developing until 25 for males, and I think it's 21 for females.
Well, it actually depending on what part of the brain you're talking about, there's parts of it that don't develop entirely till you're like 35.
Interesting. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, kids, go use drugs, because you don't know what kind of effect it's going to have on you.
I will say I know that it is known that people under like 19, 18 or so, like, smoking weed and alcohol does kind of hurt development.
Yeah, so, you know, look, if you're an adult, do what you're gonna do. I'm not gonna say you can't, because I do believe in that sort of personal freedom, and it's your body, as long as you're not hurting anybody else, go for it.
And gasoline is legal.
Gasoline is legal, so is spray paint. I mean, if you really want to huff spray paint and you're an adult... I'm not going to try to stop you, but I'm going to tell you it's a bad decision.
And you should probably consult the warnings on the package first.
Oh, definitely.
And they will tell you it's a bad idea.
Yes, they will. I also remember Millie telling me about being like 13 and painting Gundam models in a room with very little air quality to it.
I woke up with Epion's beam saver glued to my face.
My cousin has a story of his fifth grade. What do you call those things? They're kind of like classrooms, but they're not. They're outside.
They were called portables.
Barracks. Oh yeah, that's right. Portables.
Barracks. Portable barracks.
Yeah, portables. I remember he said that they were coloring with a bunch of Sharpies or something like that, and then everybody started getting high.
Yep, that was back in the good old days when Sharpies could still get you loaded.
You remember those scented markers that just smelled toxic as cuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, as a little kid, they probably were appealing, but the older you got, the worse they were.
No, as a really little kid, all I thought is, this doesn't smell quite right.
It smells like grapes and poison.
It smells like they're trying to trick me into thinking that it's candy. They're pandering to me.
So, Santa, don't give kids colored markers, please. They'll eat them.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't think they make those anymore. They
probably don't. I mean, there's a lot of stuff from when we were kids they don't make anymore.
I say you give everyone a Bowie knife at age 3.
A Bowie knife?
At age 3.
Yeah, I can get behind this. And then, you know, you give them their first 22 at like age 8 because it's just like a cap gun.
Yeah, it won't hurt a flea.
It couldn't hurt a flea.
I say we just give kids lawn darts and bows, and we teach them how to shoot lawn darts with a bow, and we just let nature sort the rest out.
We tell them, if you hit the sun, you win a prize.
Yeah, we show them the old Tootsie Roll star thing and be like, that's why that gentleman with the bow right there, that's what he's doing. He's hitting the sun. That's what you need to do with your lawn darts.
What we need to do is we need to take all the tales that like teach kids not to go places, like La Llorona, and reverse them so that they're not scary. So it's like, hey, go swim in the ditch.
Look, I didn't think the ditch was scary because I was going to get drowned by a flash flood. I thought it was scary because of the homeless people smoking meth.
Yeah, that is actually a good thing. Yeah, in Albuquerque, with the whole ditches are deadly, stay away. Yeah, you could die from a flash flood. But if you've ever seen people hanging out under a bridge, you're a lot more likely to die from them.
Yeah.
If it's not raining. If it's raining, well, the odds are 50-50.
Yeah. And again, you know, flash floods are a real thing. And I remember countless news reports when I was growing up, people being caught in them.
Yeah, I watched dude lose his car because his car just got swept up in like a matter of seconds one time. It was dope.
Yeah. So, you know, definitely be careful when it's raining.
All right, well, let's do one last one. I definitely want to talk about the Simpsons Christmas episodes.
Ah, the Simpsons. You know, growing up in the 90s, it really was one of the best shows on television.
I mean, what's your favorite of the Christmas episodes of the Simpsons?
The only one that's really sticking out in my mind right now is the one where Bart burns down their Christmas tree.
That's
accidentally
a really great one.
And, like, what I love about it is that, like, the whole thing is made out of plastic. So it, like, just melts into a puddle.
That is actually, that's definitely my favorite Christmas episode of The Simpsons. I'd have to rate that as number one. Number two is probably the one with the Funzo dolls.
Oh, the Funzo dolls. That one is pretty good, too.
Yeah, and then my third favorite is probably the one with Bloodstorm. Or Bonestorm.
Oh, is that the one where he gets caught by the guy from Reservoir Dogs?
Yeah, the guy, that crazy guy.
I'm calling your parents. Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Simpson. This is Detective Don Brodka from Try and Save Security. That's right, Don Brodka. Your son Bart has been caught shoplifting. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a shame, I know, but, well, try and have a Merry Christmas. They weren't home.
Yeah.
Who was supposed to be a recurring character, but then they found out he was fucking crazy. And yeah.
Which is what happened with him on Seinfeld and why he wasn't on the last day of Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Pretty much everything he's ever acted in, they found out he was crazy.
Imagine you have to be a huge jackass to get fired from a Tarantino production.
Okay, let me tell you about what got him fired from Seinfeld. He picked up a knife on the set and just put it in his coat pocket. And Jerry Seinfeld was very disturbed by that and told like one of the producers, was like, hey, that dude just picked up a knife. And they like asked him about it. And the guy was like, I was doing something really funny. And he like pulled it out and started waving it in Jerry Seinfeld's face. And yeah,
and he was like yelling that Jerry Seinfeld had ruined what he was planning.
You ruined my knife plan.
Yeah, God. Basically. Yeah, he was nuts. Apparently, he tried to rewrite a bunch of jokes in The Simpsons that he didn't understand. And yeah, he was nuts. Yeah, that one's really great.
He choked Tarantino on the set of Reservoir Dogs, right?
Yeah, he like strangled him. That's the reason he got fired, is because he started strangling. I mean, granted, I mean, I love Quentin Tarantino's movies, but I think if I met Quentin Tarantino, I'd probably want to strangle him.
I would too. And it wouldn't even be after very long. I would just meet him. I'd be like, I love your movies. And I'd just start strangling.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, unless I was acting and like, you know, like my job depended on it, I wouldn't. But if I had just the chance to strangle the shit out of him and there were no repercussions, like I was just in like a movie theater and he was in front of me and I could get away with it because it was really dark. Yeah, I wouldn't kill him. Don't get me wrong. I like his movies. But I'd wait for him to turn like purple before I stopped. So, yeah, that's going to be our Xmas episode. And happy holidays from us, the Nerd Forensics family. And
God bless us, everyone.
That's right, Clarence. That's right.
Is that from
it's from the one with where they should have killed that old man. Yeah, they should have killed Mr. Potter. She should have just like murked him. Good night, everybody. Happy holidays. I will agree with you on that. The Genghis Khan was a crisis actor, and invading half of the world was a false flag.